Brilliant. Right, okay, we're going to make a start. Perhaps you could just push the door to slightly. We won't close it completely, but we're going to make a start. You've all got a piece of paper. Hopefully you've got your Bibles and a pen as well. If you haven't, then can I encourage you next time to bring out all your phones or iPads? The electronic is just as good. But I've put a bit of paper there, obviously, for you to be able to take notes. And just to reiterate, who's here for the first time? Who wasn't here last time? So Maria, Tom, Claire. Claire, you were here, weren't you? Tom, Charlotte, and Sophia and John. Brilliant to see you. If you haven't had an opportunity yet, can I encourage you to listen to the first one? Okay, because we are following a pattern. I think most of you have heard it, which is fantastic. And the reason that we're doing this, again, is not so we can just put on a meeting. The last thing in the world any of us need, especially me and Jonathan, is another meeting. Been to thousands of them, so have you. What we want is God to equip us, God to build something into our lives that's going to enable us to be effective. So these are really important times, and for us as a church, we want this to equip us and to become the foundation for our corporate prayer time once a month. Okay, so increasingly as we move forward, we're going to be doing more praying and less teaching. Okay, it's quite heavy on the teaching at the moment, because I know the things that God has spoken to Jonathan and I about establishing in the heart of this new season of prayer that we're in. He wants us all to be on the same page, if you like, so that we all understand why we pray the way that we do. Okay? So I just want you, before we begin, let's just pray. That would be a good thing to do, wouldn't it? Holy Spirit, I just want to thank you for your presence in each one of our lives. And Lord, I invite you now to come. Thank you, Lord, that when you come in your fullness. And Lord, thank you for the fullness of your presence here among us, in us. Lord, I pray whatever has taken place throughout today, that we can just lay that aside right now. And I just encourage you all to do that personally, just to lay aside anything that's maybe disturbed your peace. If there's anything you need to let go of, anyone you need to forgive, just do that quickly now. Lord, thank you that your blood has provided everything we need to stand before you with confidence and with joy. And Lord, I thank you that you speak to every single one of us tonight. In this time, as we set it aside for you, Lord, thank you that you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Before we start, I want you to think. Sometimes it's good to think about what we're thinking about. Do you understand? Because sometimes our minds can go all over the place. And I want you to deliberately take every thought captive in this next hour. We're going to aim to finish around 8 o'clock. Okay? So this is 52 minutes that we can really keep our minds absolutely focused. Welcome, come in. We can keep our minds really focused on what God wants to speak to us, what God wants to do in us. If you could just perhaps push the door to a little bit more, that's it. And I want you to just think about, not in a, oh my goodness, that's depressing, because when you hear what I'm going to ask you to think about, you might feel that. I want you to think about your prayer life. I want you to think about your fervency. I want you to think about what you've seen God do in prayer. And I want you to ask yourself a question right now. And the question is there a time where you can look at your prayer life, your fervency, your passion, that sense of God's presence at work in your life? Is there a time that you can think back on where it's greater than what it is right now? And if there is, which I suspect is for all of us, actually, then God wants to do something in us tonight that's going to change that. So that every one of us is going to go out of this room tonight more on fire, more in faith, more inspired on the inside than we've ever been before. Is that possible? 100%. Because we serve a God who is merciful and forgiving. And there's three particular things that God's going to address tonight with all of us, and I include myself. Jonathan and I are as much, you know, we're before God, like we're just together as a family before God in this. Because I recognise that I don't want to look back. I want to look forward. I want to say, God, I know right now, today, I am exercising my faith. I'm reaching out for as much as I possibly can, knowing that the fire of God on the inside is burning brightly, because I'm yielding to God fully. There's nothing holding me back. And that's the prayer that God wants all of us to have tonight. So let's just take a moment, just maybe close your eyes. You don't have to close them, but whatever helps you connect with God and shut everyone and everything else out. And just do business, just for a minute with God over what I've just spoken about. Express yourself to God. God, yeah, I can look back and I can see that there were times when I was more given, I was more yielded, I was more surrendered. Whatever words help you to define that, and say, God, I know that life with you is the biggest adventure. Life with you is meant to get sort of brighter and brighter, better and better, because that's who you are. So God, I ask you to come and do that work in me. Just, you pray that, whatever words you want to pray that, but pray it out of your heart. If it's in your heart, if it's not, God, ask God to put it there. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, let's turn in our Bibles. Again, I've got notes that I'm going to give you at the end, because I don't want you to look at the notes. I want you to just be fully given to what God is saying. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 10. And we're going to make a confession over our lives. One of the things that we believe powerfully in at Kingdom Faith is confession of truth. There's a lot of things that come out of our mouths every day. Yes? You speak a lot? There's lots of things that we're saying all day. And the purpose of God is that more and more our words are lined up with what God says in his word, with the truth in his word. And in John chapter 10, there's a fantastic scripture, which it's an analogy which Jesus uses about a shepherd and his flock to describe how God wants to lead us as individuals and together, because a flock is made up of lots of sheep. I know that's not rocket science, but God wants to lead us corporately, but he also wants to lead us individually, because the individual sheep follow when they hear his voice. Sometimes the individual sheep may be followed because they see all the other sheep running in another direction and they haven't quite heard his voice. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay as well. As long as the flock are following the master and not following something else. Okay? And it says in verse 3 of chapter 10, the watchman opened the gate for him and the sheep listened to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. So he says, Helena, you put your name there. Calls you by name. And the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. Not in, out. He leads us out. Out represents a going. It represents a moving forward. It represents destiny, purpose, moving forward in life. Okay? So he calls us by name and he leads us out. And it says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Very well known scripture. Now, we're going to make a confession and I think we need to stand to do this. And one of the sessions that we're going to do in Prayer Academy, it's not for tonight, but we're going to look at posture and position in prayer, because the posture that you take when you do certain things in prayer makes all the difference. When Jesus sat down, when it says in scripture Jesus sat down, the rabbis sat when they were going to teach. They basically demonstrated to everybody, I'm about to teach you. I'm about to speak with authority. And so sometimes, that's all right, come in. Sometimes we need to stand. And when you are confessing something that is going to require faith, and these next statements are going to require some faith. Okay? So we're going to speak over our lives a few things. First thing we're going to say is, I know and listen to the voice of God. So just think on that, because you're about to release that over your life. I know and listen to the voice of God. Right, let's all confess that together. I know and listen to the voice of God. Okay. Next one we're going to do. I can follow the leading of the Holy Spirit every day. This is truth. I can follow the leading of the Holy Spirit every day. You ready? I can follow the leading of the Holy Spirit every day. Here's another one. I can know God's will in every situation I face. That's quite a toughie, because there's lots of situations we face where we don't know the will of God. We're not sure. But the confession of our faith is, I can know the will of God in every situation that I face. That's the truth. I can know the will of God in every situation I face. So let's confess that. I can know the will of God in every situation I face. Okay, last one. I can live in the light. I need never walk in darkness. Why is that important? Because God is light. I can live in the light. And I need never walk in darkness. Let's confess that. I can live in the light. I need never walk in darkness. Okay, you can sit. Now that might seem like a really, like, why did we do that? It feels like I'm back at school. Sometimes it's good, in fact it's always good, to speak things that challenge us about what we experience and what we face every day. And every day, we're all facing things that challenge those statements. That make us feel, well, I don't know what God is saying. I don't know what I believe in a situation. It feels dark. It doesn't feel full of light. And as we confess the truth of the truth of God's word, something begins to rise up on the inside of us. Now, maybe you felt something, maybe you felt nothing. But actually, I guarantee you, the more you begin to confess the truth of this, when you go into difficult situations, certainly you will have a different attitude, a different peace. And as we begin to cultivate that listening ear more, we'll hear and know the will of God. Amen. So I want to encourage you this week to be doing this, to be speaking stuff over your life. Okay, now we're going to look at these three things that God wants to really address, that I felt he wants to address. And then we're going to look at a really well-known parable, briefly, that Jesus gave. And then we're going to look at all the different ways that God speaks to us, because tonight is about how do I hear God every day? Because God speaks in a myriad of ways. So we're going to look at all those different ways that God might speak to us and how we recognise that. Now, the three things that God wants to us to clear the decks with again. I love it when we can clear the decks. I think repentance is the biggest gift. Never be afraid to say, oh, I had to repent of that. Because it basically means I could let go of something that wasn't healthy and I could move towards what was good. That's all it means. It's a gift from God for us. The three things, oh, these are lovely words, pride, independence, and unbelief. Because these three things, pride, independence, and unbelief, are all linked. And they will all keep you out of hearing God every day. If you've been a Christian more than a few years, which most of us in here probably have, then you'll know that there's probably seasons in your life where you've struggled to pray. In fact, I think prayer is often quite a challenging thing to do, because it's work, it's about relationship, but it also entails us pushing through our flesh, pushing through our feelings, which the enemy loves to stir up. But you'll maybe recognise that there's been seasons where it's really hard to pray. It's like you make all these choices in your head, and yes, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to make a decision, and then when it actually comes to it, you don't do it. And a few years ago, I went through one of these seasons, and I felt so condemned, I felt so like, oh God, I'm just, you know, I'm in ministry, and I'm finding it hard to pray. And I'm really struggling to just get that discipline. Because again, our flesh hates discipline. Discipline is basically routine. It's where you train your mind, your will, your emotions to say, you are going to do this every day. I think all the analysts say that to form a habit or a discipline takes 30 days. So push through the 30-day mark and it will be in your life. It will become something that's natural. You'll start to press over something. Now, there's always going to be a spiritual battle when it comes to prayer. But I went through this season when it was like I was really struggling. I was like, God, I'm just struggling to pray. I know the importance of prayer. I know I need to pray. I want to pray. But actually, my flesh doesn't want to. And I was yielding too much to my flesh. And the Lord spoke to me, and he simply said, repent. And I remember thinking, repent? How's that? How's that going to help me have a great prayer life? And he spoke about these three things, pride, independence, and unbelief, because I recognised that actually I didn't believe that I needed to pray. There were certain times and certain days when I knew I needed to pray, and those days I prayed. If I had to do something that was a bit more challenging or I really needed to see God, then I'd pray. If I was going into a difficult situation, then I would pray. But your day-to-day run-of-the-mill, I was struggling. Like, and God showed me, actually, there was unbelief at the core of it, because I didn't believe that I needed to pray. I believed something else. What did I believe? I believed, actually, I can handle today without you, God. That's effectively what we say when we don't pray. Because when we pray, we're yielding to God. We're surrendering to him. So I had to recognise it for what it is. It's unbelief. I believe I can do it myself today, which is independence. That's operating in my strength, which is why I was getting worn out as well. Sometimes we can lose our spiritual fervour and our spiritual zeal and our joy, just our joy at loving Jesus and knowing Him, basically because we're living out of our own strength and our tank is empty. So if your tank is empty, maybe you're relying on yourself rather than being filled every day. And Jesus made it clear, we need to receive every day, basically. I know I need to receive from Him every day. And then pride. Well, pride is at the heart of unbelief and independence, because pride is pride to say, I don't need God. It's pride to say, I can do this without God, actually. And what we do in that process is we lose a lot, actually. Others lose a lot, and God loses as well. We lose time, we lose opportunity, we lose fervency. And what God wants to do is give us all of those things. So let's clear the decks on this. And again, there's going to be lots of opportunities like this for you to do business with God. Okay? So just where you are. And can I say, what I want to say on this now, let's stand up again to do this, because if you sat down, it's very easy. It's warm in here. It's very easy to just kind of switch off or go into a passive mode. So let's stand to our feet. And it's good if you can hear the sound of your own voice. Okay? Nobody else needs to be able to hear it. You can speak in such a way that it's, you know, it's just you. If you want to turn around or you want to, it's a bit hard to get on your knees here. But you need to hear yourself confessing this to God. God, if there's pride, if there's independence, if there's unbelief, I want it out tonight. I want it out. I want to turn around from it. So it's not a heavy thing. Again, this is a gift from God. So I'm actually, if there's any of that in me, God, I'm laying that aside tonight. So just do business with God yourself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you for your grace. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy. And I praise you, Lord, that you work in me, Lord. Your grace, Lord, to depend on you every day in prayer. I want to depend on you, God. I want to have such a revelation that I need you, Father, that I live yielded to you every day. So, Holy Spirit, I invite you now, and I turn away from every trace of pride, every trace of unbelief, every trace of that independence, Lord. I want it out of my life, Lord. I want to operate out of total dependence in you. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Lord, thank you for the gift of repentance. And Lord, I thank you that I can turn away tonight from all pride, from all independence, from all unbelief. And I just declare and decree over my life, Lord, that I choose to depend upon you. I choose to depend upon your spirit. I choose to believe your word, Lord. I choose to come into a place, just as Jesus did in his humanity, to come to the Father every day and to ask you, Lord, that you will fill me with the knowledge of your will, that you will fill me with your spirit, Lord, that you will fill me with what I need so that I can depend on you in everything. I thank you, Lord, that faith will come afresh as I hear you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's take a seat. Okay, now if you've got a Bible, let's turn to Luke chapter 6. Just recognise what's going on in your spirit right now. Let yourself, if your spirit is bubbling up, if your spirit is beginning to get excited, or your spirit is starting to say, oh yes, come on, this is what I'm made for. I'm made to be a praying, believing, faith-building, confessing person. Not a person who doesn't get out of bed in the morning or doesn't, you know, pray. my destiny is something different. Let go with your spirit. Let yourself enjoy the joy of your salvation. David prayed that, didn't he? I'm getting completely tied up here. Right. Okay, let's turn. So we're in Luke chapter 6. And again, you know, the stuff that Jesus said was radical. And we're going to look at this. I'm going to read from verse 43 initially. It says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit." So orange trees bear oranges, apple trees bear apples, etc. "Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." Do you realize what you've just done in the last 20 minutes has affected your heart? If it's come from your heart, in other words, you've meant it, something good has just got into your heart from the Spirit of God. And this is important because Jesus actually said, "You'll recognize my disciples by the fruit that comes out of their lives." Not by the words, but by the fruit. It's the fruit that determines the health, the nature of the tree. So what happens in your heart is going to be seen in the fruit that comes out. And that last bit that says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in your heart comes out of your mouth. And that's a scary thing sometimes, because some of the things that come out of our mouths, we don't like to think are in our hearts, do we? But they are. So if you really want to know what's in your heart, listen to what comes out of your mouth. And if it's not good, then deal with not your words, but your heart. Okay, because that's the source. Okay, let's read on. And this is Jesus speaking, remember. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Let's stop there. So who's Jesus talking to? People that call him Lord. His disciples. He's not talking to Pharisees right now. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to people who call him Lord. So he does. Spot on, Tom. "I will show you," he says, "what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." That doesn't sound like a nice scenario, does it? For the house that wasn't built on a solid foundation. So what is this? This is a simple story that Jesus is telling to show... Can we open the door a little bit, please? It's getting a bit warm in here, isn't it, now? Just open it a little bit. So it's a simple story that Jesus uses to show how that previous thing beforehand, you can have the good fruit coming out of your life. It's linked. Jesus didn't just randomly pick stories. He said, "What the one who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, he's like the man who built his house and dug down deep." Now there's three things here that Jesus shows us he requires. Come to him, which is what actually we're doing tonight. Hear his words. You could also say understand his words. The meaning of that word means to hear and understand, not just hear it, but, you know, it just kind of goes over your head. Hear and understand, and put it into practice. And the putting into practice is, it's an ongoing, continuous thing. It's not just once. Jesus is saying, the person who comes to me, who keeps coming to me, the person who keeps hearing, understanding my word, and who keeps living their life, putting that into practice, he's the one that's going to have a solid rock. And notice that the torrent struck both. Jesus was warning us, if you like, and showing us that, you know, there are torrents that come to all of us in life. We all face challenges and difficulties. But he's also showing us a way where we can have such a solid foundation that even a torrent, a hurricane, can hit your house and it will stand firm. There's another scripture in John that talks about this, where Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's the same thing. You've got to continue in the word. You've got to do it. You've got to put it into practice. We've got to do something. And James talks a lot about this, doesn't it? About not deceiving ourselves by just hearing and not doing. This is the difference. And out of these times, God wants us to have some very practical things that we can do. I think whenever God speaks, my almost immediate thing is, like, what do I need to do? What's the action linked to what you're saying? Because actually hearing God is not, it's not hard. You've just confessed it over your life. I can hear the voice of God. Of course you can. You're a sheep. You're his. Hearing God and understanding what he's saying is not hard. It's the doing that's the difficult. So, and just to point out, where it says, here's his word, that's the word logos, which refers to your Bible. It's not referring to a prophetic word. It's referring to the Bible. This is our manual for life. You know, you've got a car, and you want it to work, you get the manual. This is life manual. And Jesus said, he who hears my logos, my written word, what I've revealed, and puts it into practice. So what's a simple analogy of that? Okay, what does the word say? The word says don't gossip. So if we then gossip, what happens? What else does the word say? There are things in the word that the word of God says very practically, and that's what Jesus is saying. They all knew that's what he was talking about. That this is the written, revealed word, that if we do it, then we build a solid foundation. And this is where we need the Holy Spirit, because actually, we can't do it in our own strength. And this is why we need to pray. If you've ever tried to stop gossiping, if you gossip, it's hard. Why? Because your flesh loves a little bit of gossip. Well, did you hear about so-and-so? Really? What were they up to? What happened? Your flesh loves all that. But a gossip betrays a confidence. A gossip is like a cancer. There's loads of things that the scripture says, like gossip, what gossip does, which is why God says don't do it. I don't know why I picked gossip, but... Because you can apply it to anything, you know? Loads of things that are revealed in scripture. You know, to forgive one another, don't judge one another, love one another. So many things the word tells us that we've heard. Are we doing it? Because this is how we get such a solid foundation. And this is why, as we begin to hear God every day and put it into practice, the fruit that begins to come out of our lives begins to say, this person is following God. And we need the Holy Spirit to enable us to do this. And in the next session, in this session we're beginning to look at it more about the power of the Holy Spirit, that we need to be able to live this Christian life, and that we need to be able to pray. And I know several of you have spoken to me about that you don't pray in tongues. You want to pray in tongues. So we're going to look specifically at that the next time and get people released in speaking in tongues. You can get released in speaking in tongues before then. Okay, you don't have to wait till then. Just call upon the Holy Spirit and he'll begin to move. But we need to be operating in the fullness of the Spirit to be able to see us putting this into practice, because we can't do it in our own strength. We just can't do it. We cannot love like God's commanded us to love. We can't believe like he's commanded us to believe. We can't do the things that he's asked us to do in our own strength. It's simply not possible, which is why he gave his Spirit, and which is why he says, depend on me every day, come to me every day, yield to me every day, and then you're going to have a power released in your life which is indestructible, unlimited, immovable, where anything is possible. I've seen God move a lot. So is Jonathan, so have you. I've seen a lot of miracles, I've seen a lot of healings, but I'll tell you something, there's some things that I've seen in the Spirit that I haven't seen yet, that I know I'm not satisfied until I see it. There are some things that I'm saying to God, I can't make myself believe. You're going to have to release that in me, God. You're going to have to do that in me. And I encourage you over your own lives to believe for that as well. Amen? So, we want to be doers. Right, how are we doing time? Okay. So let's have a look at how does God speak to us. What are the different ways? And as I say, I'm going to give you this bit of paper afterwards. So this is about, you'll have all my notes for this stuff and all the scripture references. Your bit of paper and the stuff I'd encourage you to write down is what God's saying to you. What's the response? What's the bit that jumps out to you? Okay, because that's the bit that God's highlighting for you. Okay? Well, God speaks through his word, as I've already said. Primarily, he speaks through his word, through the Bible, through his revealed prophetic word. Why is that the number one way? Well, Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus came as the manifested Word of God. And in the world that we live in, my goodness me, do we need that plumb line? Do we need the Word of God as our plumb line? The pure, undiluted Word of God, where we don't pick and choose which bit of it we believe. Where we don't say, well, we'll believe this bit, but we won't believe that bit. That we say, no, the full counsel of God, I'm putting my life under. Amen? So, the Word of God. God speaks to us through the Word. And every day, that's why we have this Bible reading plan. That's why we're encouraging you, get into the Word every day. Your flesh will hate it. Your flesh will say, oh, I'm tired, I don't want to read the Word. Read it. Get into a routine, whichever way you do it, whether it's the last thing at night, or first thing in the morning, or both, or throughout the day. If a scripture comes to your mind, confess it out loud. You've just spoken truth. That's the Holy Spirit, and scripture comes to your mind. Because I tell you something, the enemy's not going to put it there. When the Word of God comes to your mind, speak it out over your life. Something gets released. Amen? How else does the Spirit of God speak to us? Well, he speaks to us spirit to spirit. So God doesn't just speak to your mind or your intellect or your reason. You're not going to be able to think your way into a great prayer life or into a great relationship with God. You're not going to be able to study your way into a great relationship with God. God speaks to our spirits. Spirit to spirit, because he is spirit and we're made in his image, and he speaks spirit to spirit. How else does he speak? He speaks through leadership. through spiritual authority. That's why in the body God has given leaders. He's given apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, the fivefold ministry to help equip the saints. To help say, this is the way, this is what God is saying, this is the way we're going, this is what God is revealing. So through spiritual leadership, that's very clear in scripture, that God speaks through leadership. Prophetically, God speaks through his people. And actually, not just through his people, God can speak to you through prophetically, actually through anyone and anything, I've discovered. God can speak to you through a sunset. He can speak prophetically through art, through music, through creative things. And the prophetic word, when that comes through people, and that's another whole thing that we'll do on the prophetic, because we want to see that prophetic word coming forth. Some of you have got a real gifting in that, that God wants to develop, because you see things in the spirit. And when that word comes prophetically, it confirms what God's already saying to you. It releases the very thing that you're believing for on the inside. So it's powerful. God speaks prophetically. Sometimes God speaks audibly. Sometimes, I don't know if anyone's experienced that in the room. It's rare in scripture, and I think it's rare in our lives when that happens. It's normally a key turning point or a key moment. But God does speak audibly. I had an amazing testimony of, I'm not sure if I shared this a few years ago, of we were in Central Asia ministering in a very, very poor village. Very, so poor. Worse than Africa, I would say, even that there was no infrastructure, nothing. And we were visiting this lady who, it was a Muslim village. It's illegal to be a Christian. They're all underground in this country. And we'd spent a day just getting there, I think, pushing cars, walking, doing all sorts, to get to this village. And this lady that was in this village had been persecuted, and I mean persecuted, for her faith, because she turned to Christ. And she turned to Christ because she met with him. And her husband was a Muslim, and in their culture, when a wife marries the husband, she moves to the village of her husband, if she's not from that village. So she moved to her husband's village, so she's not in her own village. She's got no family support other than her husband's family. She turns to Christ. Her husband's family are Muslim, in a Muslim-ruled community. She's the only Christian, several hundred people, and she's severely persecuted, beaten by her husband regularly, almost in an inch of her life. Her family hugely persecuted her. We heard of two occasions when we were over in this place where, after several years of what I believe was the mercy of God towards the husbands, where the wives were continually forgiving, being beaten up, being persecuted, literally, physically, where the husbands dropped dead. No reason, just dropped dead. Her husband dropped dead. I think he was an alcoholic as well. And the family took to her children off of her. They wouldn't let her keep her children, except for, I think she had four children, and they took three or two of them. And I think she was left with, yeah, she was left with two, and they took the two boys and left her with the two girls. She had no means of support, living in a completely poor place, trying to grow a few things. And the community were literally threatening to take her life because she would not denounce Christ. What happened to her? Late one night, her husband's family and a mob were coming to kill her. And people are martyred for their faith in this place. We heard testimony after testimony of people that were martyred for being a Christian. You know, I have decided to follow Jesus is not a nice song to them. It's an absolute confession of faith. So in the village late one night, the mob are coming. She hears them coming. She hides with her daughter. terrified. As this mob arrives, an audible voice from heaven comes. And she hears this voice. And this voice is audible, loud, audible voice. I can't remember exactly what it said. I think it might have called her name. And it just called out her name. And not only did she hear it and her daughter, but the mob heard it. And the mob, terrified, ran away and left her to be. Do you want to hear the audible voice of God? God's protection came for her. And God sometimes will speak in an audible way, even through a donkey. Sometimes I think, you know, if we hear an audible voice, it's either an extreme situation like that where we need it, or it's because we're not listening. We're not listening. God even had to use a donkey to get someone to listen in the Bible. The still small voice. It's another way God speaks. That still small voice. God doesn't speak to our minds in the sense of our reason and intellect. Sometimes it's in your mind that you will hear that whisper. That still, small voice. So, listen to that. And actually, in Scripture, heart and mind are interchangeable. He speaks through creation. He speaks through dreams, visions, pictures. I could give you loads of stories about how God has spoken in dreams, just like he did in the Bible. There's lots of stories in the Bible about dreams. If you've never had a dream where God shows you something that's going to happen in the natural, ask him for one. Maybe he'll give you one. But God speaks to us through dreams and visions, visions in the night. Open visions, visions that are just of things that you can't know in the natural. So these are all different ways that God speaks to us, sometimes through circumstances. Circumstances are not always pointing in one direction to say, you know, that's the direction we could go. But sometimes they are. Sometimes it's through the circumstances that we can see, actually, God is speaking here. God is speaking here. And how will you know if the circumstances are God? Because you'll have peace. Peace is the umpire of our spirits. The circumstances can look all wrong, but you've got peace. The circumstances can look right, but there's no peace about it. And I don't just mean inner peace, I mean peace in general as well. So these are all different ways that we can really hear the voice of God. Okay, we're going to do one last thing, and then there's some practical things that you'll see on the sheet for you to do this week. There's three practical things. I'm just going to read those out quickly, then we're going to finish by listening to some music and stirring our spirits to pray. So the practical things this week are, number one, come to God every day. Keep saying it, but even that will be a breakthrough for some of you, just to say, actually, I'm going to do it every day. Every day I am going to intentionally come to God, speak the truth over my life, speak it out loud. Okay? Number two, identify for you right now, how is God speaking to you specifically in this season? Because we go through seasons in life. Sometimes it's a season where you just, every time you open the Bible, it's like it's life. You're just feeling God is speaking. Sometimes you open the Bible and it's like a stone. I believe it, Lord, but by faith, you know, and it just feels hard. But when you put the worship on, it's like, oh, there he is. There's his presence. God is, there's just anointing. You're just hearing from him. Sometimes it's because you're going out prayer walking. Where is it for you? Because somewhere in your life, there's a way that God is speaking. There's a flow. All right? So identify what that is. And you might have to push into a few things to see where it is. It might be you need to start worshipping if you haven't been worshipping. You might need to start reading the word and confessing the word. You might need to start doing something that you haven't been doing, okay, to find that. And then number three, ask him to show you every day, how do I put that into practice? If he says trust you today, say, God, how do I trust you today? What's that look like? What's the action? Even if the action is trust. In other words, maybe you've got a situation you're fearful about and God says trust. Faith is always active, it's never passive. So there'll always be something. So even trusting, or even if God says just wait. That's the hardest thing, isn't it? When God says just wait, just be patient. It's the hardest thing. But waiting is active. It's not passive when it's God that's spoken it. So you can actively say, God, I'm waiting. Today, I am applying my faith to wait on you in that situation. I'm going to wait for you to open up that door. I'm going to wait for you to release that finance. I'm going to wait for you to bring that relationship right. But I am actively waiting on you, God, and confess it over your life. So ask him every day, what is it? Amen? Okay, right. We are now, put all your books and papers and stuff away. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? Okay. Now, what I would like you to do is I want to encourage you to stand rather than to sit, but you can sit if you are really going to engage with God. But if you can stand, and we've put the seats like this so you've got a bit of room, if you like walking and praying in tongues or just confessing stuff, do it. Just move around the room. We'll try not to crash into one another, but we're just going to listen to some music. It's just instrumental. It's not got any words in it. There's a few sort of kind of words in the background, but it's just instrumental. And just let the Spirit now, for a few minutes, take everything that you've heard and give it to God. Just stir your spirit. If you pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Release the Spirit. He knows what you need better than you do. Amen? Right. Thank you.
story abreyanda sondro besteya. Thank you Jesus. Tikia lebreyanda sistele lebreyanda. Thank you Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for the release of your Holy Spirit on each one of us this week. Lord, I'm hungry for you, Father. I thank you that you cause a stirring up of your life, a stirring up of your purpose, not by works, Lord, not by flesh or by striving, but because of the work of your Spirit. Lord, I pray for such an open revelation of heaven, an open revelation of who you are. Lord, I want to see you. I want to see the things that are on your heart. I want to know the things that please you. Know the things that you want to do. Holy Spirit, I'm just yielding to you afresh. I thank you, Lord, that you get a hold of me as I get a hold of you, Lord. I thank you for that divine exchange of your life that will cause your presence to be so manifested, Lord, that will cause the fruit that you want to bear in me and through me to bring much glory to your name. Lord, I pray that over us as a church, this week, this month, Holy Spirit, that you would come and grip our hearts. Grip our hearts, Lord, everyone. Thank you, Father, that you have purposed and designed things for us to step into that we can only dream or imagine right now. But Lord, thank you that we're going to see them, that our eyes are going to see them, Lord, not just in the spirit but in the natural. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for that word in season for every person, that we take that word with us. And in the power of your anointing, just receive his anointing right now. Every person, just receive exactly what you need right now from him. Just receive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Are you encouraged? You ready to go and hear God every day? Be inspired in his presence. Amen.
Amen.
Brilliant. God bless you. We're going to finish now.
Because
we have got a little bit of time that we can hang around. We can answer questions. We can pray for people if you've got some specific things that you'd like prayer for. But I'm conscious as well that we have also said we're going to release people if you need to go. But if you've got any questions and you want to say, yeah, ask away. That's always that deathly silence, isn't it? And then one person asks a question, and then it's like everyone starts asking a question. Yeah. Okay.